welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me. It's Ariel.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I'm in the big city, as I've talked about before on the podcast. My boyfriend and my brother have an apartment in Halifax, and I come here sometimes. And I hadn't been here in ages.
Oh, really?
Just because of like all the Christmas holidays and then everything, I kept not coming down. So we just had a big winter storm, and the city feels dampened. Do you know what I mean by that?
Like it's quieter.
Just, yeah, it feels quiet, and like people aren't really out and about because it's kind of hard because it's so snowy. This is like a thing that people that don't live in places that get a lot of snow will know about. When a city gets hit with like a lot of snow, snowplows will come by, but it becomes really difficult because the snow like can get pushed over, but then it's just on the sidewalks or on the curb.
Or it's blocking cars in.
Blocking cars in. Yeah, exactly. It's like kind of a nightmare. So anyways, it'll probably melt in a few days. You guys didn't need a weather report, but you do have it now. So there you go.
It's fine. We had a lot of snow earlier too, like last week or the week before.
Yeah.
Or maybe both of those weeks. There was a lot of snow. I actually couldn't make it to work 2 days in 1 week because it was just so snowy and the snowplows didn't come down my street. So there was just no way that I was going to get anywhere. Especially because I live at the top of a hill. Hey-o.
Oh, God. Is it icy? Have you found that it's icy?
It was a little bit icy.
Yeah.
I went for a walk the other day on my lunch break and I almost fell because the sidewalk was covered in ice.
I saw a girl almost completely wipe out outside of a McDonald's. She did the kind of comical,
I was outside of a McDonald's too.
No. It's a conspiracy. McDonald's
what
isn't,
the heck?
They're not salting their parking lots. That's hilarious. Were you getting coffee?
No, I was just walking past McDonald's somewhere else.
That's so funny. Yeah, she did the classic like comical like arms doing the whoa. Oh man. Yeah. I mean, she didn't slip. So this is
an okay story. That's a relief. Well, weather report aside, we do have some more exciting stuff to talk about
before we jump into
the episode. So last week when we were on the podcast with Brenna, obviously we talked about our bookmark subscription.
Yeah.
But let's talk about it a little bit more because now it's officially like happening. We've got everything figured out. Tell the people everything there is to know about the bookmarks.
Gladly. Thank you, Raylene. <You're welcome. laughs> I feel like we're on a talk show and you've just like, you've put it over to Ariel in Halifax.
Yeah. I passed you the mic.
Exactly. Or I should do that thing. You know that thing that always happens in news reports when they're like, we're now going to go over to Ariel on the streets of Halifax. Ariel, can you hear us? And then there's like a delay and Ariel just stares into the camera for a second. She's like, hello there. Yes. Hey. Yep. Oh, I love the delay. I don't understand how, like, the top leading news places still have delays.
Maybe it's just for nostalgia.
They just keep it around to be relatable. Anyways, to the point. Sorry, I'm clearly in a distracted mood. I'm so excited because we are actually recording this episode the day that the bookmarks launched. So when this episode comes out, you know, they've been launched for a week, but today they've only just come out a few hours ago. And it was so exciting because we're just really excited about this project. And me and Raylene, we love this podcast. We don't want to just put out merch for the sake of putting out merch, you know, like we're not going to be putting out like 16 different hoodie and sweater designs. We want to like make really cool stuff, and so we've put so much care and thought into all of the things that we've released, and this feels like the most special one so far also because like it's a collaboration between us and an artist. So yes, like you mentioned, this is our bookmark subscription. The way it works is very simple. You sign up right now, and I mean right now. You sign up right now,
as soon as you possibly can.
Quarterly, so 4 times throughout this year, and if it does well, we can go into the future years too. But like quarterly, it will come out, and you will be sent 2 really beautiful bookmarks illustrated by an illustrator that we've collaborated with, and two stickers that we've pulled out from, like, the designs from the bookmark. And yeah, you'll get them. They'll be sent to your house, but you'll also get an email that, like, we've custom written and will talk about, like, the author, not the author, the illustrator, the collaboration, and we'll have a link to a little bonus video from me and Raylene. So it's kind of just like a nice little quarterly packet, both digital and, but mainly physical. And we're really excited about this. So basically, the thing I found out is that if you want to participate, if you want to try it out, and I recommend, like, if you think this is cool and if you like our podcast, just try it out one time, right? Give it a shot. Mm-hmm. We would really appreciate it. We are so excited to show you, like, this, like, new project. But if you want to try it out, you have to try it out now, because we're hoping that there will be another window in the year when you can sign up, but we're not exactly sure because of COVID and ordering stuff and ordering the correct amount of things, like, et cetera, et cetera. We think you got to sign up now. You got to sign up before the 31st. So sign up on no later than the 30th, okay? This is like one of those essay deadlines, and you're like, well, can I actually hand it in on February 1st? No, it will be closed. So we will be ordering some extra bookmarks. So say we get like 10 people that sign up, we'll order like 12 bookmark packs, but then it will be limited edition. So you really can't be sure that you would get one in that later period. So if you really want to get one, grab one now. They are beautiful. We are so excited about them. I think I haven't even mentioned, but the first ones, obviously, you know, because you heard last week's episode, but the first ones are illustrated by Brenna Thumler, who is our favorite pod pal. And if you don't know, a pod pal is someone who's been on our podcast more than once.
She's the only one that's ever done it.
She's the only
but
one.
She's still our favorite.
Who's crossed that threshold. And she designed such beautiful pieces of art for these bookmarks. Somebody actually commented on the Instagram saying, like, I don't even want to use these as bookmarks. Like, I just want to hang these on my wall. And I was like, I get it. They're beautiful.
Right?
Yeah. Honestly, maybe it would be cool to, like, I kind of feel like I have the file, right? I have the file that Brenna sent me of the finished bookmark.
Oh.
I wonder if I could send it to, like, Costco and get them to print it big. Because it says Bassett Bookshop and LeMay Library. Like,
it is so cute.
I would love
even
that.
Just like that one image of Brenna walking through the town with our little shops. That'd
it's
be so,
so lovely. So, yes, we are not going to keep talking about this in all of our episodes for two reasons. One, because obviously I know it's annoying to constantly hear ads and stuff, but I don't even feel guilt. I recently saw some post on, I don't know, some social media that was like, I'm not going to feel guilty about promoting work I'm proud of. Like, it's different than a sponsorship, right? We're not telling you to go sign up to NordVPN or whatever. Like, we're telling you about things we're proud of.
In a way, yeah.
Exactly.
We created it.
Yeah, we did it. We brainstormed this. We worked on it. We figured out all the details. We, like, made this happen, and we're really excited about it. So I don't feel guilty about it, but I do know, you know, you don't want to talk about merch all of the time. But the second reason we won't talk about it much more is because if you can't sign up later than the 30th. So
it'll all be in the hands of
right now
the world, not us.
Sign up now. So give us a shot. Support the podcast. Get some fun merch. Try out this fun little thing. Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I love getting mail. So,
oh, me too. It's very exciting.
I can't wait to get them in the mail. So there you go. There's my big plug.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, that leads us into the podcast itself. And now I've got to ask you some very important questions.
I'm ready.
Did you finish a book?
Nope.
Uh-oh.
Ayúdame. Ayúdame. That means help. So here's the sitch. Ladies, gents, and everyone else in the room. You know what? I love saying that because it really reminds me of Paul Bettany's character, Geoffrey Chaucer, in A Knight's Tale. There's a part when he's making a speech when he says, like, lords and ladies and everyone else not sitting on a cushion. And... That's what I think of.
Yeah, that's very reminiscent of that.
Raylene, sometimes Raylene says things in this tone that I know she's like my kindergarten teacher. Like, I'm an out of control 4-year-old, and she's like, yes, that is very nice, Ariel. Now, please now sit down.
Get back on track now. Sit down.
what was I saying? Right. So basically what was supposed to happen was me and Raylene have been buddy reading this book, Homesick for Another World by Otessa Moshfegh. And yep. Raylene, I was so proud of myself. I was doing so good. I was hitting the daily stories. So basically we were like, let's read 2 stories a day. And then there was one day where like something happened in my life and I was like, can we just read one? And you're like, yep, that's totally cool. And the next day you were like, let's just read one again. And I was like, perfect, because I'm busy today too. So like we were able to adapt it really well, which is kind of cool because I don't think we've read a short story collection together before.
Not in a very long time. Yeah. I think we read one once.
I don't remember. But anyways, we've learned that it's a good buddy reading system because you can kind of just break it up like that.
Yeah, that's more control.
But then a couple of things happened. Number one, my boyfriend came back to stay in my house. And I was like, okay, listen, I want to keep reading my stories. So I said to Connor, I'm very sorry, but at nighttime, I need to listen to my stories. Because I was listening to it on audiobook. And he's like, that's totally fine. Like, I can just like lay in bed next to you doing my computer stuff. And you can just be laying there listening to the stories. And I was playing The Sims. So even though he came in, it kind of disrupted my flow a bit. But I kept going forward. Then, I think 2 days later, my brother came back to my house. And he was like, want to watch something? Want to do something? And I was like, oh man, okay, it's cool. I can keep it up. But then is when I started to struggle. Then I wasn't doing so hot. I wasn't doing so good anymore. I was starting to fall behind. Then my dad, who works as a pilot, he's been doing some tours up in the north. And when I say the north, I mean the north. He was helping survey
all the way up.
He was helping survey moose populations. Okay.
Wow.
Moose. He said he saw moose that were so much bigger than he ever imagined moose could be.
Well, that's kind of terrifying.
That's kind of interesting. Because of COVID, his thing, like his moose thing, got closed until.
Oh, are you gonna say because of COVID the moose got bigger? I was like, how did that work?
No, all of these things started like shutting down, and they're like, we're gonna have to shift it to February. And so he flew home unexpectedly.
Oh my god, so everyone was there.
Everyone suddenly kept coming back, and my reading time that had been working so well for like 3 days in a row got torn to shreds, and I didn't finish the book. That's my tale.
Well, I did finish the book because I thought we were going to. And so I just forged ahead.
No, it's good. I'm proud of you.
Because it was funny, on a few days ago, I think it was Thursday or Friday night, you were like, what if I just try and finish the audiobook tonight?
There's it was only Friday. 3 hours left. Yeah, it was Friday night. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's 6 stories. Like, I could maybe do that too. And so meanwhile, in my head, I'm like, Ariel's probably listening to the stories right now. I got to keep reading. I got to read. I got to go. So I read 3 stories that night.
Yes.
And I was like, I can't do any more because they were long. And then the next day I finished the rest.
Yep.
So it was just kind of funny because I thought you were reading them too.
I wish. I wanted to.
And so I ended up finishing the book. But so it feels kind of weird. We were reading it together, but I finished it. So I guess I want to give my thoughts. And I
think
you can help give your thoughts because you read most of the book.
Yeah.
So collectively, you and I both felt pretty similar about all the stories that we both read.
Yeah.
Where, like, the first story was quite good.
Yep.
That was the one that's, reminiscent of my year of rest and relaxation. It was like, oh, yeah, this story or this collection is off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, every single story we read was just, like, so depressing and one note. Like, they all had the exact same message. And it was, I'm sad and I hate everything and I'm mean to everyone. Like, that's what every single character was like. And there was pretty much no plot. Like, the plot was non-existent in each story.
No plot.
They were just about really sad people, but they were like worse than just being sad.
Yes.
Like, they were miserable and were like had terrible qualities, like the way that they would talk about people that they should be nice to and they should love. Like, they were just horrible. All their internal thoughts were just despicable. And some of them were truly disgusting.
They were the kind of people that you fear having as your neighbors.
Yeah, like they were all creeps.
Unpleasant.
Yeah, and, like, you just feel like something bad could come out of their house at any moment.
Yeah.
So that was kind of unfortunate. While we were reading, we're like, oh, another story that we didn't like. Oh, another story that we didn't really like. But then, of course, the moment you stop following along and listening to the stories, they started getting good.
I can't believe it. I'm so annoyed because, let's say, is there 10 stories?
No, there's 14. We read, I think, 8. And we disliked almost every single one.
Every single story. We were like, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. And every night I diligently listened to my hour of the audiobook and I told you what I thought. And I ranted and I raved and I was like, ah! And then Raylene starts messaging me, I kind of like that one. That one was pretty good. And I'm like, wait, what? And I'm like literally trying to figure out when to read. Because I listened to like half of the next story or something.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I just started it. I don't really remember. But I was like trying to find when to read. And Raylene's plowing ahead. And she's like, they're getting good. And I'm like, what's happening? And now here you are telling me they got good. I can't believe it.
Yeah, like I didn't want to stop reading them at that point. Because I was like, I'm actually enjoying these. And I really want to know what order... Like, what order they chose to put the stories in? Like, was it chronological in terms of when they were written? Or, like, that's just my guess because I felt a distinct shift. And it felt more like I was reading an Otessa Moshfegh novel, but, like, in shorter form instead of just, like, the depressing, horrible stories that we were reading before. That did feel like Otessa Moshfegh, but not the Otessa Moshfegh I wanted.
Not like Otessa Moshfegh at her best.
Yeah, like, it just felt like they were... her trying things out, maybe, and the things just weren't working for us. But the last 6 stories, I genuinely really enjoyed.
Wow.
So it was a very confusing reading experience, because for the first, like, half, or just a little bit more than half of the book, I was like, I do not like this book. This is not going to be a book that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the story started to get better, and I was like, oh, God, now what do I think? Like, I definitely wouldn't reread those first few stories, probably, because I didn't enjoy them, but I could see myself rereading the later stories, and they kind of, like, brought it all together. So it was a complicated journey, but it ended up being not entirely negative, which was good, because I was like, I don't want to have an Otessa Moshfegh book that I hate.
I know.
I don't want that. I just declared her one of my new favorite authors. This can't happen. So luckily, it was kind of okay.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So last week, I was reading 3 books, and I actually finished all 3 books.
Tell us.
So
tell
us. So Homesick was one of them. And then the next one was The Inconvenient Indian by Thomas King.
Yes.
And it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, it was There's no way it wasn't so good. There was no way it couldn't be good. And what I like is that this book does talk about, like, the history of Indigenous people in both Canada and America. And, like, the differences that kind of happened were very interesting. Like, differences and similarities, obviously. But it was just a fascinating read, and I feel like I just want to shove this book into the hands of all Canadians and all Americans. Mm. And just be like, come on, why did we do this? Like, we can be better than this. It was just, it was so interesting. I really liked, there was a whole section where he was talking about how Indigenous people were portrayed in media in movies and television. It was fascinating. There was so much in there that I just, like, didn't know about, and I really, really enjoyed that. So, all in all, it was a fantastic book. And like I was saying last week when I had just started it, Thomas King really does put his personality into the book. So it's not just like a depressing history. Like, he kind of adds some humor to it in whatever way he could. And I really love that. So it makes me want to read more of his books. He has tons of fiction as well. So now I'm intrigued to, like, branch into his other books. Yeah. Because this one was really, really good. So I highly recommend that. And then I also finished Strange Weather in Tokyo by Haruhi Kawakami.
Okay, which is exciting because this is a massive mashed potato book.
It is. And I kind of wish that I had stuck to our buddy read plan for this one, because I feel like you would really like this book. And so I'm excited for you to read it so we can talk about it. But it felt like an aerial book because, like, the main character is this woman who's, like, in her 30s. And she bumps into an old, like, a teacher that used to be her teacher when she was in high school at a bar. And it's kind of just, like, about their like friendship and like where it goes from there, but like she's so lonely is the thing about this book. Like, it's a book
that's about how you think about me, Riley, and you just think about me as a lonely lonely guy.
I just know that that's what you like to read.
It's true,
because it's very like calm and slow, which is interesting because it's a very short book, but it took me like a full week to read it. Like, I think I read The Inconvenient Indian faster than I read this book.
All right.
And so that was kind of interesting. But yeah, it was really good. It's kind of like not super surreal, but it is kind of dreamlike and just the way that it kind of floats along. And each chapter is almost like a little like vignette. Mm-hmm. Like they're all like different moments in time. And like sometimes the two characters bump into each other and they see each other. And sometimes they go for months and months without seeing each other. So it's just kind of like the journey of life. And it was really nice. I really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
So how many, wow, if you had to do star ratings on that one?
Mm. I would give this one, if I was being really particular, like 3.85, but I'd go with a 4. Yeah. Because like 4 seems like a little bit too high, but it's definitely around there. Like it would round up to a 4. It was good. Yeah.
I love that. I feel like, gosh, 3 books. These aren't the first 3 books you've read in a year, right?
I've read 6 books now.
You've read 6 books. Okay. But I feel like these 3 are very much the kinds of books you want to be reading.
Oh, 100%. That's why I accidentally started reading 3 books at the same time. Like, I don't like doing that, but I just was really excited to read all of these. It was like mashed potato book, new author that I'm really enjoying, and another mashed potato book. So definitely so far my reading in this year has been top notch. So even if I haven't like loved every single book, Otessa Moshfegh, I'm glad that I read it. Like, I'm glad that I haven't waited longer to read it. You know what I mean? It feels good to have knocked it off.
Totally. And that was one of your resolutions, which was to like read more of the books that are on, not only just on your shelves, but that like you've been meaning to read, you wanted to read. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been talking about Strange Weather for more than a year. Obviously, we're high on the Otessa train, so why would you not read that next? And I'm sure you've had an Inconvenient Indian for a while now. So
yeah,
like we all have. I really want to read Green Grass, Running Water by him.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard really good things about that book, but it's like 500 pages long.
Mm.
The Wikipedia says it's 480 pages. Jeez.
That's pretty long for you.
I love how you added the "for you" on there, really.
I mean, like, I can handle it.
You're in a real snarky mood with me tonight.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
So what are you currently reading? Is it just The George? The Orwell?
Well, and the Otessa. For me, I feel like I'm still in the middle of my Otessa journey. I'm so annoyed. I want to cry. This is the new podcast. Ariel just cries about the books she meant to finish.
It's okay. It's okay. I'll just read 3 more books by next week so that we have something to talk about.
Do you guys see how mean she is to me?
I kind of have a little bit of a cold. I don't know if you can hear that in my voice. I'm not myself right now.
It's put you in this grumpy mood and it's manifesting in meanness towards me.
Okay, well, how about we divert our attention from that by talking about Encanto for a second? I just watched this movie and it was joyful.
It is so joyful. Have you seen Coco?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
A few years ago, but yes, I've seen it.
I think there's a lot of similarities between it. Obviously, people are going to say, what, just because they're both set in Latin America? No. Okay. Partly, yes. Obviously, that is a similarity. They share some cultural things, but one is obviously more Mexican, the other one's more Colombian. But I couldn't help but compare the two because they have very similar visual animation styles.
They're very colorful as well.
Yeah. Personally, because of that comparison, I think I ranked Encanto. I was being a little harder on Encanto because the songs in Coco are so good. Like, I find myself humming the songs from Coco. And the performances, also, like, obviously the movie is about music. Like, the little kid, the little boy wants to be a musician. So when he sings, it makes sense. Whereas in Canto, I didn't really like the songs. There was maybe one or two where I was like, yeah, all right, this is fine. But I none of them like were sticky to me, you know, like none of them were like, oh yeah, I loved, wow, that was amazing. But also they all felt so random. And I was doing the thing that I do when I watch musicals where I'm like, can they just talk? Can they not? They don't need to sing this one. I think that they could just have a 1 minute conversation about this instead of a 4 minute song about it. But I loved the animation. I loved the story. I loved the characters. I thought the voice actors were all so good.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, like, multiple characters that I loved. Like, I loved Bruno. He was so funny. Mirabelle was great. Louisa was really funny.
I loved Louisa.
When she was like, I'm strong, but sometimes I cry, I was like, you get me, Louisa. You get me.
Yeah, it was good. For me, I've only seen Coco once, and it was quite a while ago, and honestly, I don't remember what any of the songs sound like, just off the top of my head. Mm. I had this impulse
to start singing one to you. I won't do that, though.
You don't need to do that. It's okay. I don't know if I'll enjoy it in this mood I'm in.
Seriously.
So I wasn't like constantly comparing them. I was definitely thinking about Coco while I was watching Encanto, but they were separate enough that I was able to enjoy it. And I agree, the songs weren't necessarily the most catchy, but I actually did really enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had told me, you're like, I don't really know about the songs. And so I went into it thinking like they were going to be really bad. And then I was like, oh no, this is like nice. So I went in with lower expectations and that could have changed it. But
yeah,
the song that Louisa sings, oh my God, that song was so good.
The Under Pressure? Too Much Pressure?
I was like, oh, yeah. That was really good. It was musically, it was good, but it also had a great message.
It had a beautiful message. It's true.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun movie.
It was a really fun movie. Me and my mom watched it together and we really enjoyed it. The only thing we were like, I wish they hadn't put the music in there. We were like, if they hadn't put the songs in there, we would have given it like a 10 out of 10. But that's such a personal thing, right? Like music tastes are music tastes. Like literally impossible to please everyone. Mm-hmm. Unless it's Coco, which pleases everyone.
You can't go wrong with Coco.
I'm thinking of naming this episode Grumpy Raylene Reads More Than Ariel. I feel like that's the vibe right now.
I thought it was going to be something about Coco.
Grumpy Raylene talks about a movie that isn't Coco.
It has to start with Grumpy Raylene for sure. I just don't like feeling like I have a frog in my throat, which is how I feel right now. Makes me sad. Well, okay, so we've gone with, I guess, what am I currently reading? That's what's next on the agenda. I started reading a book today that you picked for me, so this should make you happy.
Will that make you happy, Ariel? I don't know, really. Whatever you want,
man. I couldn't decide this morning what I wanted to read, and so I sent Ariel a picture of four books, and I was like, just pick one for me. I'll read any of these. I just can't decide. And so what you picked for me was Letters to a Young Gymnast by Nadia Comaneci, and I'm so excited about this book, dude. I've only read 27 pages, but I already love it.
Sick.
Like, I love it. It's so good. And I I texted you before we started recording. I was just, like, waiting for you to be ready. And I was just watching gymnastics videos on YouTube. Because I was like, I want to learn more about this gymnast and, like, the history of, like, the time that she was, you know, doing gymnastics and what was going on.
Yeah, because it's one thing to read the story, but it's another thing to, like, watch her do one of her routines. Right?
Well, exactly. I found a video because she was, like, basically one of her huge things was that she was the first gymnast to ever get a perfect 10 at the Olympics. And so I was like, well, I want to see that routine. But it's like, oh, there was a whole bunch of things that she did. And so I just watched her do a whole bunch of different flips and things on the bars. And wow, it was so cool. Like, I don't know anything about gymnastics. I don't know any of the lingo, but like, it was sick.
Was she in her peak in the 80s or 90s?
This was the 1976 Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And she was, like, probably a teenager. She looked really young in the videos.
It's really interesting. And this is something that I had seen some other people talking about when they talked about her.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing the difference in how gymnastics has changed over the last 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. Because it's really gone from something that I think it was a lot more sort of dance and ballet affiliated looking This is from, like, again, this is from someone who doesn't do gymnastics, so we don't know the terms, right? We don't know the, like, lingo, but more of that kind of realm to now much more of kind of, like, a high-impact sport. Like, it was obviously always a sport. I'm not taking that away. Like, the things that she did, unbelievable. But it just sort of, they just, the spectrum, right? It just kind of it has shifted a little bit. And when you see the athletes from her period, they all look so young and, like, thin and, like...
Like, tiny.
And tiny.
They're, like,
whereas
little dancers.
Now, like, dancers, exactly. Whereas now, the gymnasts look like the strongest women on the planet. Like, Simone Biles and all of them look so strong. Like, muscly and, like, I don't know, so powerful. So, it's just very interesting, isn't it? Because her getting a 10, her getting the first ever 10, is really interesting because it sets a certain kind of precedent. Who else can get a 10? Can you get a 10 in this new version of the sport? I don't know. It's all fascinating. I don't know anything about
Especially
because,
like, in one of the videos I was watching, they were talking about how, like, so many of the other sports at the Olympics are easily judged. It's easy to tell who did the best because either they, you know, got the fastest time or whatever it may be. They jumped the highest. But with gymnastics, it's all about what the judges think.
Yeah.
It's not, like, as straightforward to figure out who gets the gold or whatever.
No,
it's all about what they think. And I think that was really fascinating because, like, everybody's constantly striving for perfection in this sport where it's like, you can never be perfect no matter how good you are.
And there's literally there's literally, I remember people, because I watched a couple of videos about her when I was seeing if I would get you this book.
Oh, yeah.
And there were people talking about how she had this sort of elegance and grace that you can't really put into words or into score. It's just that when you watch her do it, it just feels... And so it's that literal, like, je ne sais quoi thing, right? Where it's like she just literally has this thing we don't know how to verbalize that feels more like a 10. And it's like, well... How do you replicate? Like, what does that mean? That's so interesting.
Yeah, and just in the beginnings of the book that I've read so far, she talks about how there were two gymnastics moves that were named after her.
Wow.
And, yeah, the first one, what is it called here? The Comaneci Salto is this move that she created. And apparently, like, they have different levels of difficulty. They're ranked from A, like A, B, C, D, E, and then there's, like, Super E or something.
Yeah.
And Super E is the hardest version. And this move was rated E. Like, it's rated so difficult, only a few people were able to do it. And I'm like, that is just so cool.
Yeah,
that
is
she,
cool.
Like, was one of the few people in the world who could do this thing. And, So, yeah, I'm literally 27 pages into this book, and I'm already obsessed. So,
that's awesome.
First of all, let me just say thank you for getting me this book, because I had never heard of it before you gave it to me, and I didn't realize how much I really was interested in gymnastics.
I knew I was interested,
but I'm, like, I'm really excited to just learn more, like, to read this book and then kind of go on a deep dive and learn all about the history of gymnastics.
I want you to become a gymnast. That's my real dream.
I don't know if I can do that, man.
Not like an Olympic gymnast, capable. Just a gymnast, someone who goes and does gymnastics.
I used to do that when I was small.
Did you?
And bendy. I'm no longer bendy.
Did you? Did your school ever go on, like, a field trip to a gymnastics place?
Yes. Yes. I was about to say what the place is called, but then everyone would know where I live. So no, I'm not going to say that. But yes, there is a place, like a gymnastics gym, where people would have birthday parties. We would go field trips there. Like, it was huge. When I was a kid, all the girls loved gymnastics.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends were into dance as well and did, like, acro. And so I did acro one year.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was hard, but it was fun.
That's really
cool.
But
yeah, cool. Just bouncing around, jumping into foam pits.
Foam pit! Man.
Good days. Good days. Trampolines. Gotta
I remember
love it.
That. I remember there was, like, I don't know, maybe it was like a week or 3 days or something where we went to the gymnastics place every day. And
nice.
It was so much fun. I remember that was like a peak field trip. Mm-hmm. Field trips were so cool. That finally you get to break out of prison and go do an activity.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking about that recently, actually. I was like, field trips are such a cool thing, but it must suck for the, like, adults who have to supervise
Awful.
The field trips.
Awful.
Like, what a nightmare.
Awful. I would never do that. I would absolutely
you
never supervise
pay me enough.
A field trip. No, you couldn't pay me enough to supervise a field trip. No way in hell. I've heard so many horror stories, but not only that, like, I'm sure most of the time, literally 95% of the time, nothing goes wrong. But you are still, as that supervisor, going to be so incredibly stressed the mm-hmm. entire time. You're trying to yeah. watch over 20 lunatics? Are you kidding me? No way.
Like, what if one of them gets lost?
What if one of... That's the main thing. If somebody gets lost, hurt is obviously bad, but at least you know where they are. If someone mm-hmm. gets lost or kidnapped, and we're talking about a kid, no. Like, I remember every time I'm in a big city, like New York or London, and I see, like, babies, not actual babies, but like they're all babies under 13. Sorry to anyone listening, but you're a baby if you're under 13. And then if you're under 20, you're also a different kind of baby. I'll just tell you the truth.
You're all babies.
You're all just babies to me. It's true though. Like, do you remember? I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent of a tangent, but I remember being in like grade 3 and I had a friend who had a sister who was in grade 12 and she looked like a straight up adult. To me.
Oh yeah.
And then I was in grade 12 and I looked at kindergartners and I was like, yeah, wow, like I feel so much older than them, but I feel so young compared to like university students. Whereas when I was a kid, I didn't really see a difference. It was like once you'd pass 14, you were big. But now I see people in university and they look like children to my eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, they look you know, like when Legolas is like, or no, Aragorn says, we're looking for hobbits. They'd look like children to your eyes. And that's how I feel about university students. What was my point? My point was that everyone is a baby. No, okay, in London, I will see like 7-year-olds on a field trip and they'll all wear like little highlighter vests or whatever. But even so, I'm like, this is, imagine going on the London Underground, okay? With 15 kids. And you're just standing there like a hawk, like a mother hawk watching right. them. That's my nightmare, okay? That is my nightmare.
Yeah, like in my head, the only way to make that work is just to like chain them all together so no one can wander off.
I've definitely seen that. I've definitely seen that in New York where they're all like tied to, on a little leash to their belt or whatever.
Holding a rope or whatever. Yeah.
Hold to the rope. Cindy, grab the rope.
You just can't trust them.
I can't trust them.
Tiny humans are so unpredictable.
Oh, God, that's stressful. Sorry, now I'm overwhelmed. Let's talk about sourdough, Raylene, before we forget again.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about sourdough. This is really exciting. We got a message from a listener, and it's the best message of all time.
So, we got this email. Well, I think actually first we got an Instagram message and or on Discord, and our social media queen, Kaylee, was like, Ariel, Raylene, look at this amazing message. And we're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Please, can you reach out to her and ask her to please send us like a bigger message and if possible, a voice clip. So she sent us this email. Here's the situation. So the email says, Hi Ariel and Raylene. I made a comment on one of Books Unbound's recent Instagram posts that featured a picture of Sourdough by Robin Sloan about how your recommendation for that book turned me into a professional sourdough baker. Listen, people that are listening to this podcast, right? The biggest aim that we have here is to get you a good book. The fact that we possibly shifted someone's career is shocking. Wild. They go on. I was contacted by your account, yes, our Queen Kaylee, and was asked if I could share a short voice clip expanding on the story so that it could be featured on the pod. Thank you for allowing me to share my little tale, and thank you again for introducing me to the book that put me on my current path. Bella Nora Rose, which might also be the greatest name I've ever heard.
Seriously.
Bella Nora Rose. All right, here is her voice clip.
Hi, Ariel and Raylene. My name is Bella Nora, and I'd like to share my story of how the book Sourdough by Robin Sloan changed my life. I read the book earlier this year on Ariel's recommendation. I'd been earning my living as an apprentice baker, and the thought of a book with a baker main character intrigued me. I absolutely loved it. It's my favorite book of the year, and it also got me interested in making sourdough, which is something I had zero experience in, as the bakery I worked at didn't make bread at all. Fast forward to mid-year, and the bakery permanently closed. I panicked. I thought back to sourdough and how interested it made me in the idea of making bread. Because of this, the only place I applied to was a local bakery that specializes in making sourdough. I got interviewed and mentioned that, while I had no real experience with bread, my interest got ignited through a fictional book. I had a trial shift and got hired despite my lack of experience. The only thing I was armed with was having read this book and a passion for wanting to learn. Baking sourdough is now my living. So thank you to you two and your podcast for quite literally changing my career path.
I literally got chills. I literally have chills right now. I literally have chills. That is my favorite thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So amazing.
Also, Bellinora has a great, like, reading voice. Or not even reading, just the way she spoke that was
perfect. She told the story perfectly.
It was beautiful.
She took me for the tale. It was amazing. I can't believe it. I got so many chills when she was like, so I only applied to that one place. I was like, yes, Bellinora. And then she was like, I mentioned that I had it and I got a trial shift. And I was like, oh my God, no, not the trial shift.
The book, literally every step of the way, the book was like, here you go. Oh, I'm going to change your life. What's up?
I'm obsessed with that clip. That was so much fun. Bellinora, thank you so much for letting us know about that and for being such a sport and a champ and sending that in. Raylene, have you had any experiences where a book has kind of influenced your actual life? Like, even maybe in a minor way, like a haircut or an activity? Maybe.
I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm sure that it has happened.
The obvious example for me, and I definitely have talked about this on the podcast before, but The probably clearest example for me is that a book changed the way I drink tea. So,
oh yeah,
I read an essay by George Orwell, literally called I forget actually what it's called, but it's about tea. And he basically says that if you actually respect tea, you won't take any sugar in your tea. He also says you shouldn't take any milk. But ooh. I was like, I don't really want to just drink black water, so I'm going to try and, like, just first cut out sugar. And I cut out sugar, and it was 100% because I wanted George Orwell to like me. And
yeah. Not because you respect the tea.
It wasn't because I respect the tea. But now, honestly, when I taste tea that has sugar in it, it tastes insane to me. Like, it tastes so sweet, and, like, you can't really taste the tea anymore. You're more just tasting the sugar. It's, like, just a vehicle for sugar, so I actually really prefer it, and I think I am drinking it because I respect the tea, you know? I also only use oat milk in my own house, obviously. If I'm getting it at a cafe or something, I'd go. If they don't have alternative milk, I cry a little bit, but there's always almond around. But I always do oat milk, and anyone who's had oat milk, it's obviously the best of the alt milks, but also...
Yeah, I agree.
Also, it doesn't, like... It's not very powerful. It's a little bit watery in a way that just all alt milk is. That's the thing about dairy. It's creamy. That's what we can't replicate in our alt milks. We can't get the correct richness. That's okay. Without just adding buckets of sugar to it. But anyway, my point is that with the oat milk in the tea, with no sugar, it doesn't have that overwhelming dairy flavor anymore either. So I feel like I'm like the closest I can be to Orwell without actually giving up a little bit of milk.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I just went on that whole tirade. I saw Raylene getting bored.
This episode is
hilarious. I watched her get bored.
We're talking about field trips and putting oat milk in your tea. What's going on? This is what happens when you don't read any books, Ariel. You just talk about weird stuff.
You're shaming me again. What are you doing, Raylene?
It's okay. It's fine. I just think it's hilarious. Well, without further ado, maybe it's time that we jump into our recommendations. The recommendations this week are fun because they're kind of like themed. Yeah. And my book holds that I'm going to share later on in the episode is also sticking with the theme. Oh, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
The theme is music. And the first one, I'll just jump right in. So this one comes from Zeynep, who says, "Hello, one of my favorite albums is Wilder Mind by Mumford & Sons, and I love the album cover of it. So I'd be very interested to read a book that might have had the image as a cover." So
that's a cool
one. This one is fun. I like this one a lot because it's like, Yeah, just pick a cover.
Yeah, and, like, take a cover.
What would that fit?
Take a cover from a different project and put it for a different pro- I don't know, that's like a...
We dig that.
It's like a
we
wife swap. The idea of wife swap, the more I think about it, the scarier it becomes.
It's absolutely insane. Well, what book did you pick for this? Let's not start talking about wife swap now. Let's stick on topic.
I don't even think
we'll
I've
be
ever,
here all night.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Wife Swap.
Yeah, me neither. But the idea.
The idea spooks me. Okay, the idea spooks me. I picked, well, okay, right away, without even thinking, without even hesitating, I thought of Perks of Being a Wallflower. It's the most Perks of Being a Wallflower. You could imagine it on a Tumblr that was dedicated to Perks of Being a Wallflower. Yeah. It's literally like a Tumblr image. Do you remember Tumblr? Mm-hmm. God, those were innocent days.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of wish, in a way, it's super... Sorry, no. You know what? I'm going to cut myself off right there. I was about to go on the biggest tangent. I was going to talk about how I wish I could freeze time and go back. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about my time travel another time.
maybe next week.
Perks of Being a Wallflower. That was the first one that came to mind for me because I was cool. That's so... I don't know. It just felt so... It just so obvious. You've got the city, the lights, the moodiness, the dark. And then another book that came to mind for me was Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. But
interesting.
I haven't read that book. I've seen the movie. Have you seen the movie?
I think.
Michael Cera? Yes, Kat Dennings?
Yes. It was so long ago, I forgot. I completely forgot if I had seen it for a second. But yes, I have seen it.
It's so fun. Everyone should go watch that movie. It's probably dated. I haven't watched it in a really long time. I don't know. Someone's going to cancel me. It's, there's something probably problematic in it. I don't care. It's such a good movie. what was my point? Oh, yeah. So that movie also is set at night. And I think, like, oh, God. Hold on. I've got to bring up the cover on my Spotify here. So Wilder Mind. By the way, do you listen to Mumford & Sons at all? I don't listen to them at all.
I haven't really listened to this album, but all of their albums before this one I was obsessed with.
Oh, okay, that's interesting, because I didn't know what their vibe was. I went completely based off of the cover, and then I was like, wait, what do these people even sound like?
I mean, this album was kind of a like, it's very different from their older music. When this album came out, everyone was like, oh my god, they're changing their sound. So this cover doesn't necessarily vibe with, like, what I think of when I think of Mumford & Sons, because I think of their older stuff, which is more folksy and, like, acoustic and upbeat and fun. This one kind of went more of a rock route, I think, if I remember correctly, but I don't really remember because I only listened to it a little bit, and then I was like, not for me. But I'm willing to give it another chance because I don't even remember what any of the songs are.
Yeah, so on the cover, there's a bench. We should have described this because not everybody automatically knows what Wilder Mind looks like.
That's true.
There's a bench. It's like lit, and it sort of looks like maybe it's lit by a car's headlights or something. Mm-hmm. So the bench is lit, but it's nighttime. It's sitting on a patch of grass, and there's some trees in, like, right ahead of it. And then there's just, like, the city. Like, it's looking down on the city.
But it's dark where the bench is.
It's dark where the bench is. The city's all lit up, like, at nighttime vibes. It sort of has a La La Land feel. You know the scene where they're tap dancing, everyone? You know the one. you all know what I'm talking about. It's got those vibes. So, yeah, Perks of Being a Wallflower was the thing that instantly came to mind. And then I thought of Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist because that is set at night. But I kind of struggled because I couldn't think of other books that are set at night. It felt like such a nighttimey book or cover. So I was going to go with those two.
Yeah, no, I like that. I kind of went a slightly different route. I kind of looked at this and was like, what is this image trying to say?
Oh, whoa.
And so, as you mentioned, we've got, like, a bench that's up on a dark... looks like it's like elevated from where the city is, kind of. Like, far away
up
from the city.
Or
and it's dark here. And over there is all lit up and far away. So it made me think about, like, being isolated and kind of being, like, far away from where everything is happening. And so the book that I thought of for this one is Radio Silence by Alice Oseman.
Oh, yeah.
because
even the cover of Radio Silence looks a little
like it's kind of evocative of the same kind of image. But in that book, the main character is an artist, and she collaborates with someone who makes this like amazing pod, like kind of radio show podcast thing. And so she starts collaborating with them, but nobody knows who she actually is. Like, it's just kind of like her online name or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I feel like she's like very far away from everything. She's like famous, but not. And that's kind of like the thought I had when I looked at this cover, was just like being far away from the spotlight and being kind of alone.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know if any of that made any sense, but that's that's where I took this one. I feel like this cover could totally be on Radio Silence.
I completely agree. I totally agree, because she is a very lonely character. She's dealing with her loneliness and like you said, the like difficulty making friends. She feels very mm-hmm. alone. A lot of the characters in that book do. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think we did great. I think we did great.
I think we did pretty good. I think I'm going to mm-hmm. do a lot better on the next one, though.
All right. Read us the next one. I'm excited about this.
Okay. So this one comes from Brooke. Brooke said, "Hello, lovely ladies. After listening to the 2021 wrap-up episode and hearing how much y'all loved Bo Burnham's Inside..." And then in brackets it says, "Girl, same." I've noticed that young people say "girl" a lot. I have to try. Yep. I have to figure that one out. I thought it would be fun to give recommendations based on the songs. Some examples she gives for the vibe I'm going for. A book on social media addiction for Welcome to the Internet. A book you'd want to read with your mom for FaceTime with My Mom. Or a main character struggling with fame for All Eyes on Me. Feel free to get as literal or abstract or deep, satirical as you want with this. Sending joy and peace from California. Awesome. Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you, Brooke.
We do love Bo.
And I just want... Okay, so when you submit... And anyone can submit a recommendation request on our website, booksunboundpodcast.com. When you do, you put in your name and your pronouns, and then you put in a short summary of what you're about to say, and then you put in your full request. And the short summary just helps us organize things at a glance without having to read a whole paragraph. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the best ones we've ever gotten. So it says Bo Burnham, but it says Bo, brackets, O-K. So it's Book Burnham, Burnham. It's incredible. It's really hard
it's
to
more
say.
Of a visual,
it's more of a visual
it's
more joke. Of a, yeah.
It's funny. Some things just don't translate. Well, gosh, I'm really curious. Which song did you pick, first of all?
I picked multiple. I picked three of them.
Oh, God. Maybe you should say two of them, and then I'll say mine, and then you can say your last one.
Okay. The first really easy one was Welcome to the Internet, because obviously I've read so many books about the Internet.
I knew you were going to do this.
I was like, I mean, I have to. So I picked 10 Reasons for Deleting Your Social Media Right Now by Jaron Lanier, because personally, I feel like that song, Welcome to the Internet, is the thesis statement of the entire documentary.
Yes.
Whatever you want to call it.
It's
special.
A documentary.
It sort of is, right? Special. Well, let's just call it a special. So I feel like that's the thesis. It's sort of, there's a lot of different themes in the thing, but I think that the biggest thing he's looking at and trying to understand is the impact of the internet on people right now, whether that's how it impacts your career, how it impacts your relationships, how it impacts your self-perception, how it impacts anything. And this song is that kind of satirical, laughing, like, minion devil guy. Like, so I feel like the point of the, not of the song, but like one of the points that Bo is trying to make is like, maybe we should all be careful about the amount of time we spend online, and or at least be cognizant of how it's affecting us and be better at curating those spaces. And I feel like the book that helped me the most with that was 10 Reasons for Deleting Your Social Media Right Now by Jaron Lanier. Like, I hate the name of it because it's really cheesy and it makes it sound like a BuzzFeed article, like a listicle or something.
Yeah.
It's a really nice, clever book.
and really interesting, written by someone who's lived in and like been a part of Silicon Valley for since it was called Silicon Valley, you know, mm-hmm. like has been there before the internet to when the internet was being created to afterwards. So he knows, he can see that impact, and it's just really, yeah. it's really interesting. So definitely recommend that one. And I sort of feel like maybe it's time for me to do a reread of that one.
Ooh.
The other one is Content. Oh, God. Look, Daddy made you some content. That.
I love that.
Oh, God, I love that. So that.
Daddy made you your favorite. Open wide.
Open wide. I read this YA novel a couple years ago. I have talked about it on the podcast before, but maybe not that often. The Geography of Lost Things by Jessica Brody. Mm. It has two very different covers, and I like the illustrated one more, but whatever. Doesn't matter. So this is about an influencer who's like a teenager. She seems like she's like 18. And there were some things I really liked about the book. Some things I was kind of just meh on. I think overall I gave it like a 3 out of 5. But if you like contemporary young adult, I do think it's worth giving it a shot. So basically it's about this teen who's an influencer. And at the beginning of the book, it's pretty spooky, honestly. Like she's making this acai bowl or whatever the Instagrammer is like for breakfast. And she, like, takes a photo of it and puts it on her Instagram. And then she, like, has one bite of it or something and then throws it away. Because she's like, I don't want to eat because I want to be thin for my photo. So I wouldn't actually eat all of this food, but I want to post, like, I eat healthily. And she, like, posts about a boyfriend she broke up with a few weeks ago, but they both decided not to break up online yet because it doesn't make sense for, like, this content they want to make in the next few weeks. And, like, so there's all of these, like, really fake things, and you see how she is almost, she's just, it reminds me of my favorite quote from An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green, which says, the most insidious part of fame for April was that it made her think of herself as a tool, not as a person, but as a tool. And that's, I think, this really messed up thing that Bo Burnham is also talking about. Like, when he talks about it also pretty explicitly in his last special, Make Happy, when he's talking about, like, performer is the audience, and the audiences are the performers. Like, we're all acting on social media, like, I'm doing something, I better post about it and, like, update my show and update my audience. Yeah. But you're also an audience member to everyone else and all of your friends, and just sort of, like, insidious and gross. So you have that whole thing going on. And then basically she had a cousin she was really close to who has passed away, and her cousin had been planning to hike the PCT. And so the book sort of becomes like YA Wild by Cheryl Strayed.
Yeah, where, like, she's trying to escape from it
Yeah, she tries to escape from. So basically she posts this video. Now I feel like rereading this book. She posts this video where she's like, my life is a lie. Everything is a lie. I want to come clean. So she kind of like posts it when she's like feeling really vulnerable and she just wants to be free. And I love that the author did this, because instead of the internet being like, we love you no matter what, they just shit all over her. And they're just like, you piece of shit. Why have you been so fake? Like, you're such a, I hate you. And she gets like a lot of online abuse. And so she gets really scared. And then she decides, like, you know what? Maybe I will go hike this PCT situation and do this trip that my cousin was supposed to do. So she does this trip, and it makes her think about her relationship to her friend, and it makes her think about how she wants to use social media and everything. It's pretty good. It's got a lot of themes that I really like. Yeah. There were also, though,
it sound pretty cool.
It's a little cheesy because it's YA, and like mainly it's about a romance in the end. And like there were a couple of things like that sort of let me down a little bit. But that's just because I'm looking for a specific thing that's like,
yeah.
Basically, I just want someone to write about my life and tell me how to feel about my feelings.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, cool. Those both sound great. Before you say your last one, I want to say mine, because I just feel like your last one is going to be stellar. It's going to outshine whatever I say. I decided to... It's not? Okay, good. That's good. So I went with That Funny Feeling, which is... to both of us, one of the best songs in the entire thing, obviously.
So beautiful.
It's so, so good. And that song is kind of hard to, like, vocalize exactly what it's about. But, like, when you listen to it, you're just like, yeah. Like, it's kind of about how there's like, all these different little, like, ironic things in life and, like, little messed up things that society thinks are okay and all that kind of stuff. And that immediately made me think of Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because this book is about a man who is an actor, or he's trying to be an actor, but he's only ever seen as an Asian person. And so it's like he has to be in a Chinese restaurant or he has to be doing martial arts. Like, those are the only things that he's ever able to do. And he wants to be more than that. And society won't let him. And it's so it's kind of, I don't know, that song just reminded me of this book. And yeah. I don't really know what more to say about it. It's hard to explain because that song is like so complicated. Ugh. And like there's so much discourse about like what is this song really about? Like, what is that funny feeling? And everybody has a different version of what that is. But such a good song.
There's been a big problem, a giant problem over here on Aerial Headquarters. While you were talking about that, I swear to God, I was listening and I totally agree. I think it's a great recommendation. But I was like, I wonder what my review of The Geography of Lost Things by Jessica Brody is. I would like to go read it on my, like, this is not the book I'm talking about. The book I'm talking about. No! The book I'm talking about is not called this. And now I have to find this. But oh my God, this is a nightmare. I don't remember the name of the book, Raylene.
Okay, we can figure this out.
Okay, so I found it, Raylene. And we shouldn't even change what just happened. Okay, but people should know.
No, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. I'm lost. The book is called The Other Side of Lost by Jesse Kirby.
Oh.
Which kind of is similar. It is why books
They do
all
have similar titles.
It's all melded together in my
It's funny, I just looked it up, and that cover is what I was imagining in my head when you were talking about it. Because I knew what book you were talking about, but I didn't realize that it was the wrong title.
Oh my God. Here's my review from 2018. The first half of this book was phenomenal. I was ready to add it to my favorite shelf and preach about it forevermore. I really enjoyed it and recommend it, especially for people who struggle with social media and or like nature. But it missed the mark slightly for me by introducing a romance that I didn't think was necessary and by dropping the social media aspect in the later half of the book, which was what I'd been so enjoying in the first half. So I still really enjoyed it, but the second half wavered for me. That is almost what I just said, and I'm glad that I remembered my opinions correctly. But there you go. The Other Side of Lost by Jesse Kirby is the book I'm talking about. God damn it, Ariel. Get your act together. Okay, the third one I wanted to talk about was, I think, it's so funny because, like, this is like the album I listen to the most. So I've gone through so many different moments where a different song is my favorite song.
Yeah.
Right now, my favorite song is 30.
Oh,
I guess we haven't even really... For people who haven't watched this... I mean, for people who haven't watched the special, you're just doing yourself a disservice. But I'm sure you've seen so many people talking about it because it obviously had a giant moment on the internet. But yeah, it's Bo Burnham talking about social media and talking about the pandemic, but not talking directly about social media or the pandemic. Well, that's very unhelpful of me, Ariel. But the song 30 is very clearly and non-metaphorically about his panic about turning 30. And he's talking about how he is used to being the youngest person in the room. And he's used, like, he was born in 1990. And he's done a lot of really great and interesting and cool projects that are very traditional. So he's worked with people who have been in the industry for a long time. And they're always like surprised that he was born in the 90s. But
yeah, because he started really young.
Like, yeah.
With all the stuff he did, especially with YouTube.
Yeah. But now that's not young anymore. Right. Like we're not young anymore. We're old. And so, well, not old. I know.
I know. I'm like, we are technically young. We're still we're under 40, young, so we're young.
You guys know what I mean. We're not like the fresh young head chickens on
yeah,
the
like
scene
if you
anymore.
Write a book now or if you do something cool, it's not like, wow, you were so young when you did
you
that thing.
You were a prodigy.
Like,
no, now you're just,
yeah,
okay,
we're
yeah.
We're just normal.
You're an adult woman doing yeah. great. Keep going. Go, 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 go. So he's singing about that in this song, and he's kind of worrying about turning 30 and freaking out about how all of his friends are getting married and all of his friends are having babies and all of this sort of stuff. And there's something about that song that really embraces me, understands me deeply. So the book I picked for this is Motherhood by Sheila Hedy, because motherhood is also about freaking out about giant life decisions because of your birthday. So basically, she's turning 40, so it's a decade later, but I feel like it's the same thing. She's turning 40, yeah. and so she's sort of like, you know, if I were to have a baby, I would have to do it right now. Do I want to have a baby? A lot of my friends have babies. A lot of my friends don't. I never thought I wanted one, but now I'm sort of like freaking out. Like, what if I do want one? And it's almost exactly like the song where it's sort of like, is this a big deal? It feels like a big deal. Maybe it's not a big deal. Like, maybe I'm making it a big deal. Like, all of that sort of stuff. I really need to reread that book. It's super cool. It's super, like, thoughtful. That's the word I'd use. It's like a very thoughtful book. Just somebody thinking. There you go.
Wow.
Those are my recs. I had fun working.
Those are really good.
I had fun picking those because it was fun going through the song list and being like, ooh, no, I know exactly. Oh, I know what I'd pick for that. Oh, I know what I'd pick for that one too. Yeah. So there you go.
That's awesome. I know I looked at a lot of the songs and I'm like, oh, I'd love to pick that song, but I can't think of a good recommendation for it. So I kind of had to just keep going until something clicked. Well, that was super fun. Thank you so much for that submission. That was a lot of fun. So on the theme of music and books, we're gonna jump into Book Olds. Ruben's Book Olds, they're back. It feels like it's been forever since I've done one, but here we are.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for an older book that involves music in some way, and you've probably already heard of this book, so it's not like anything new, but for those who haven't heard of it, I think this book sounds really cool. A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan. And this came out in 2010. And let me just read you the tiny little synopsis that's on Goodreads here. Benny is an aging former punk rocker and record executive. Sasha is the passionate, troubled young woman he employs. Here, Jennifer Egan brilliantly reveals their pasts, along with the inner lives of a host of other characters whose paths intersect with theirs. With music pulsing on every page, A Visit from the Goon Squad is a startling, exhilarating novel of self-destruction and redemption. And what's cool about this book is it's kind of more like told through short stories almost, is what I've heard from reading reviews.
Yeah.
It is like a cohesive novel, but there's tons of different characters, and then like the main characters kind of weave in and out of all of those stories. And I know that there's actually one story that's told through like a what is it called? Presentation where you have the
slideshow?
What is that called? Yeah, kind of like a slideshow.
Oh yeah, like a PowerPoint.
PowerPoint, that's the word I was looking for. So there's like graphs and things, and like they're using a way to like tell a story.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think I saw a BookTube review of this like 10 years ago, and somebody was explaining it, and they're like, that story made me cry. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
How did a PowerPoint do that? But like just the way that it was done apparently is super like evocative. And so I've been like curious about this book for a long time, and I think that it just sounds really interesting. And something that I discovered when I was looking it up, there is a new book called The Candy House by Jennifer Egan coming out this year.
Oh.
And it's kind of like an unofficial sequel because I think it involves some of the characters from A Visit from the Goon Squad.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's just like a random extra kind of fun thing. So if you enjoyed that book, there's a new one coming out. When does it come out? Hang on a second.
How do you feel about the cover of A Visit from the Goon Squad?
Which one are you looking at? Because
the
there are
main
two.
One. I feel like the main one is the one that's like a lot of people dancing and they're all layered.
I think it's really cool.
It's interesting.
I really like that cover.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think it's cool. The other one that just has like the top of a guitar on it is a lot less exciting. That's whatever. Yeah, so that is the Book Old for this week. That's it, folks. We did it. We got through the whole thing. And surprisingly, I just want to point out, we haven't done a book haul yet. It is currently January 16th when we're recording this, and we haven't bought any books.
It's exactly so. Like, you know how they have, like, it's been 3 weeks since a workplace injury.
We're currently 16 days without an accident. That's really funny. Although I did place an order from Book Depository on the 30th. It was before January.
I'm just waiting
for them to show up. I'm just waiting for it to show up. It's from Book Depository, so it'll probably be like 5 months before they get here, but that's okay. I'll announce it when it shows up. I'm very excited about the books I got.
Mine was only a few days ago. I made a big order. Not a big order. It was like, it's three books, but I'm like so excited about all three of them. Like super, super hyped about them.
Well, that's exciting.
Also, there was a new bookstore that opened up in Halifax.
Whoa.
I know. I'm going to have to go that's see huge. It. And that could lead to destruction.
You just gotta.
I just gotta.
You just gotta do it. Nobody else is going to do it for you. So. Well, without further ado, we are off to go record our bonus mini podcast for Patreon, Books Unbucket, our pride and joy, our wonderful little show. And the question we're answering today comes from Crystal, who says, how many of the people in your offline life are readers and book lovers? I think that's a fun question.
That is a fun question.
In our online life, pretty much everyone you know is a reader, probably, right? Like, that's how we met a lot of our online friends, is through like BookTube or book blogging or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think it'll be an interesting question for us to answer. So we are going to go do that.
Also, right before we go to do that Unbucket episode that I'm sure is going to be a riot, I would like to just remind everyone about our bookmark subscription. You only have one more week to sign up. So go sign up. Give it a shot. We are so excited about this project, and you're supporting us, you're supporting the artist, you're supporting us. Okay, what else can I say? So thank you so much. It's linked in the show notes. It's linked on our Instagram. It's linked on our website. And probably if you everywhere. Just look at your phone screen right now, there's a link, okay? Damn it, there's a link. I'm losing it. Just check it out. Yep. All right.
Beautiful.
Raylene, lead us out.
So that's great. Can't wait to get those bookmarks. Honestly, I'm so excited to get those.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be beautiful. Well, thank you guys so much for listening as always. And we will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Bye.